First, I'd like to welcome anybody who's here with us for the first time this morning. If you're here visiting for the first time, if you would just raise your hand, we'd like to share a gift with you. And Alexander's going to come around and just say thanks for being here with us today. Thanks for popping by. And we have one person over here, Zan. Thanks so much, gift giver. If you all would, you're already on this, you know what happens next. Pass the clipboard. We're like, we got this. The kids are going to start moving because they're going to have a chat with Mr. Jim this morning. So, kids, if you want to come on up front and have a special chat time, Jackson, come on up for the chat. All right. Excellent. Thanks, friends.
Hello, hello.
Awesome.
I need a handheld, please.
Oh, you need this too? Okay. Here's one.
All right, how's everyone doing today? Good? All righty. Who do you think is the best listener up here? Huh? Tomorrow is? Do you want to be my great listener? All right, it's going to be a tricky one, though. We're going to play a little game. You think you can do that? All right, here's how the game works. All right? You're going to have to sit facing this wall so you can't peek. And then we're going to make some noises, and you get to tell us what the noise is. All right? You think you can do that? So face the wall so you can't see what I'm doing. And some of these, I think you were practicing this during the hymns, which is totally fine with me, okay? So you're going to sit that way. All right. Do we think Amara's going to get these right, being a great listener? Yep, you got to face the wall so you can't see what I'm doing. Can't see what I'm doing. There we go. Alrighty, let's try this one first. Amara, what is this? What is it? Can't see it. What did you just hear? A shaky noise? Could it be a rattle? Could it be this? Alright, I think you got that one right. Alright. All right, we got another one. Are you facing the wall? Nope, can't look. All right, here, I'm going to face away. How about that? Ready? Listen to this noise tomorrow. Tell me if you know what this is. What is that noise? You want to listen again? All right, face the wall. You hear that noise? What do you think it is?
What is it?
I don't know. You want to hear one more time? I'll give you a hint. It's something you can write with.
What is it?
What can you write with? A pencil doesn't make a noise like that, does it? Nope. Does a pen? Does a clicky pen? Is that it? All right, so there we go. There's that one. All right, face the wall again. All right, what's this one? What is it? I don't know. I'll give you a hint. It keeps me awake in the morning. Well, that's fine. How do you use the computer? It's a listening one. What do you think you hear? What do you think it is, Xander?
It's delicious.
It is delicious.
And it makes you
quite
perfect.
It
makes you go, woo!
Could it be ice? From an iced coffee? No more iced coffee in there. Is that what it is? All right, let's try another one. Face the wall again. This one's going to get even trickier. All right, turn around, face the wall.
What's that?
What's that? A car. All right, I think we had a little peeking there. That's what that one is. All right, we got one more for you tomorrow. Are you ready? Face the wall. Yep, that's right. What does it sound like I was doing? Take a guess.
What
Is it just this card?
Nope.
How did I make that sound, you think? Did I do this? Was it ripping paper? That was perception. You can hold yours off, all right? I can only imagine what my daughter would want to do. So,
you'll
keep coming later. All right, so, this is how this works. We just got to play a game as kids with listening to noises, and I know Pastor Joanne has some awesome games for the adults to play listening to noises as part of her message, okay? So today's lesson is all about listening. All right? I think we did a pretty good job. Let's give Amaro a big round of applause. All right, let's say a little prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, thank you for helping us listen. And more importantly, thank you for listening to us when we pray to you, whether out loud or not using words at all. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right, kids are going to see today. I think little kids.
Wiggles are going to, the kids are going to have their seats, and the Wiggles are going to go with Dan and Will today.
All right.
Yep. Okay.
What was that?
The little Wiggles. Yeah. Yeah. And they have their packets they can work on while they're sitting in with worship with us. Yep. Perfect.
Oh.
Oh, thanks. Yep. Do you have an intro?
You have a
Oh, okay, I'll do that first. We have a little intro, Kathy. So, our art scene video today is created by Anna, and she has a partner in crime. Her name is Josie. But first, they would like to know if you could get out a writing utensil. So if you have one, if you could pull one out, if you need one, if you could raise your hand, and they're going to give you a writing utensil. So they're going to pass those out. Totally fine. Yeah. Go sit here. Please don't lean on the communion table. Thank you. Your pastor? The danger of being a PK. Okay. Excellent. Dave needs a pen over here, right? Dave and Larry. Over here, we have some friends who need some pens. Okay, Taylor needs a pen. Kathy, you need a pen? Or you have one? You're good? Okay. Very good. Anything else you need from me? Okay, you just need the microphone. Okay.
My mom found this poem, and it's about listening, so I'm only reading, like, half of it, though, because that's what, like, goes in the video I made. So it says, this is perfect beauty, waves within a tide, where single notes admit a glorious throng. The songs of earth has many different chords, ocean has many moods and many tones. Yet always ocean in the damp spring woods, the painted trillium smiles while crisp pine cones. Autumn alone can ripen, so this is warm music with a thousand cadences. And then, for the video, if you could pull out the little piece of paper that's sitting on your chair, you're going to write down what, like, these sounds make you feel like. You know, there's, like, five different sounds. And then at the end, I'll, like, tell you what they were. And then I want to, like, people would, like, raise their hand and say how they made them feel and stuff. So can we play the video now?
Thank you.
What? For the third one. Fine. Okay.
Kelly?
The first one I thought was straight down. And it kind of reminds me of, like, if you're living in the city and you're shooting from the city. Anybody else?
I said relax.
Peaceful. Okay, the first one is actually like a beachside, like oceans, like tide on and all that. Okay, how about the second one? Yes, it was actually. Yeah.
Okay, Marcy said it sounded like a forest, like everything was alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A happy morning.
I said adventurous.
Adventurous.
Invigorating.
Yeah.
It was actually a rainforest and a forest combined.
Yeah.
That's why that one was longer because I didn't find it beautiful. Okay, how about the third one?
Scared. You like them all? Dan?
I thought, for three, I thought of kind of like a backyard campfire, just with like the bugs and stuff around. So I have a feeling it would be like enjoying family, you know, and friends.
Backyard campfire.
You could hear an owl back here, too. So. There was actually a campfire. I guess, how about the fourth one?
Dave?
Holy terror, a cyclone.
Mary?
Nervous.
A train. Traveling. Kim? Questioning or wondering. Yeah, Marcy? Haunted house.
The fourth one?
Wait, oh, Will has it made me sad.
The fourth one? Okay, the fourth one was actually orca whales like chasing each other. The video
was
how about the fifth one, the last one? Amy?
Rattles.
Sleepy.
I agree with Dave, I never thought it, so it sounds like it's me too.
Conscious.
Anybody else?
I thought it might have been mosquitoes, so I was like, dude.
She's getting itchy because she thought it was mosquitoes.
Okay, the last one was like outside on like a countryside at night. Like all the
crickets.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Anna. Thank you for returning that to Alyssa. So today we are going to continue our message series that is called Backwards, based on the book Living Life Backwards by David Gibson. And if you didn't catch the theme for the day today, it's around listening. So just to review where we've been, what we've been talking about during this series, that living life backwards is having a different kind of perspective, that it, by looking at life from the moment and the fact that all of us are going to die, and looking backward upon our life, it gives us an appreciation to live life fullest for the day today, to appreciate that every day is a gift. So the first week we looked at the wisdom of a backward perspective, and we had looked at the advice that we would give our younger self. Then we looked the next week at patterns of life, death, and new life, and how that pattern, that cycle, is built into everything around us, and that by living into that pattern, it can give us hope. The next week, we burst the bubble on pleasure and possessions, that those are not the things that we want to prioritize in life, but when we can prioritize what matters most, our relationship with God, our relationships with others, that helps to give us gratitude and grounding in gratitude. Last week, we talked about seasons and time, the seasons in our lives, and how we have a different season for every different matter. And today we're going to talk about listening. So, you may remember this viral video from the internet last year, and if you do, please forgive me, but I'm going to ask, what do you hear?
Yes.
What do you hear? Yanny? Alright, raise your hand if you hear Yanny. I love y'all if you hear Yanny. I cannot hear Yanny. Raise your hand if you hear Laurel. So all I hear is Laurel. Isn't that crazy? I cannot hear Yanny. Raise your hand if you can hear Yanny again. I literally cannot hear them. Isn't that crazy? So this is what we're going to talk about today. It is amazing how based in our biology, our experience, our perception, our brains, and even how our brains process information, we are all so incredibly different. It is amazing. So, even if we hear something, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're listening. And that's part of the message today, that there is wisdom in listening, and I want to talk about the practice of listening. So what does it mean to listen? What does it mean to listen? Thanks, Kathy. Kathy's going to come around with the microphone if you have something to share. What does it mean to listen?
Well, I would say, like, when I think of listening, I think of, like, work situations where an employee might come to me. Listening to me is taking everything else out of your mind and not ready to respond. Like, don't be ready to respond, because I think at that point you're already formulating what you're going to say, so you're not really listening to what they're saying. Like, you kind of got to just give yourself, like, an open mind and just listen to what they're saying before you're ready to start responding to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really being invested in the other person, like totally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I saw your hand go up and I thought you were going to say something like that. Well, I wasn't listening very well to Tara this morning, so I have to own that.
No, you weren't. This is akin to the wisdom and knowledge analogy for me. You know, knowledge is what we know, and wisdom is how we apply it. To me, hearing is the actual, just hearing, the audibility of a sound, and processing of a sound. Not processing, but just hearing. Listening is when you take the time to actually advance it, engage yourself, and comprehend, to look further into the conversation, to actually engage in what it is that you're hearing. To be conscientious and be thoughtful about that specific item that you're hearing. It has a lot to do with marriage.
It has a lot to do with marriage. Tony?
I have to quiet my mom. I can do and jump in and what he answered before. It's a real struggle. I just have to make my mind stop. I just don't think of an answer. But it's concentration. It's really hard.
I saw another hand over here. Betsy?
One of the things about listening is that, just like you heard Nanny and Laurel, we each, because of our mind-body system, have a totally unique way of understanding the sounds that we hear. So when we're listening, the person who's talking to us may well be something totally different than what we hear. And we really inside us. And vice versa, what we try to say to them. So we need to open ourselves in a kind of humility and realize that, you know, their truth might be truer than our truth.
That's tough to do. So let's listen to one more voice in this. Oh, Alyssa.
Yes. Am I loud enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's coming. So I think listening is one of the most beautiful gifts that you can give somebody, because it allows you, it allows them to understand that you are hearing them. It validates their experience. It takes away that sense of being alone in the world, because you are hearing, you are engaging, and that person becomes important enough to have your full focus. Even if it's just echoing back in a different way what they just said, but they allow them to know that you're attending to them and that you're becoming them. So it's very powerful.
So at my work, I teach an active listening class. And I think you can have the intent to listen, but you also can be trained to listen, because it's a real process. And so many times I know, I've been teaching this for 20 years, and yet sometimes I have to stop, and I have to do something like check for understanding. So I'll go, just to process what that other person said instead of jump into the things that are in my head. So I think it can be learned.
Yeah. So let's listen to the voice of the teacher who wrote Ecclesiastes. We're going to continue reading from Ecclesiastes. This is in the 5th chapter. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near, to listen, is better than the sacrifice offered by fools. They do not know how to keep from doing evil. Never be rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be quick to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you upon earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For dreams come with many cares, and a fool's voice with many words. This is a really interesting passage. I actually ended here, this is at verse 3, instead of going on to verse 7. This is a really interesting passage to me, because what comes before, what we didn't read in the book, so the 3rd chapter we studied last week, which is where we talked about the time for every season, and then the 4th chapter, the teacher talks about the wisdom of the futility of the worship of wealth and self-advancement. So he talks about how when we worship our own gains and successes, it can cause problems in our relationships, and we can have a tendency to turn wealth and success into these like little mini-gods. Now, in this chapter, the teacher is turning that upside down by saying there's wisdom in listening to God. There is wisdom in listening. The fools kind of do, they don't listen, they use too many words. And I also think that there's something in this about wisdom is an act of love. It's an act of loving God. It's an act of loving my neighbors. And the teacher cautions us to pay attention to the words that we use, because words have power. Words have power, and you can use too many words. If you're using too many words, well, there's a lot in them, right? So I think the simple thing is, this is good advice to listen to God and to listen to others. So how do we use that wisdom in listening? One of the most ironic things that happened to me while I was preparing for this message for today was this. I Googled listening, and I went into the images tab, and do you notice how every single person is wearing earphones? Every single person in every single image had a pair of earphones in, and I thought, what are you listening to? There's a whole world around them, and I'm wondering, they're only listening to what they're choosing to listen to through those earphones, and they're missing a whole world around them. So I began to wonder, what does it mean to listen in our time? Does listening involve a set of earbuds? And if so, what might we be missing? What makes it hard to listen? What are some of the factors that can get in the way of our ability to listen? So that's what we're going to talk about now. So that's the real question, not just the rhetorical one. What gets in the way of listening? Dave?
Prejudice.
Cindy?
I thought of 2 things. Discomfort.
Discomfort.
And time.
Time. Dave?
Such a in, uh, your voice on an agenda.
An agenda.
I think sometimes people are idiots and it's easier to just listen to your
They're turning, tuning the world out.
Sometimes you're in a restaurant and people cursing and saying inappropriate stuff, and sometimes it's, I get it, sometimes it's easier to shut the world off because the world is disappointed.
Yes, sometimes it is easier to turn the world off. So that kind of judgment and nastiness in the world, it makes it hard to listen.
That's what I was going to say. Listening, I mean, obviously, words can do if you want to, if you're talking to someone else, like, oh, I think the other objective is trying not to judge what you're hearing.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's not what you're listening if you're, starting to push thoughts out because they're not in your brain and they're in somebody else's brain. So you're in a sense judging what you're hearing, and that can be problematic.
Yeah, judging what you're hearing, yeah. And there's like a tension in here, right? Because I'm thinking about what Dan just shared and thinking about, that fool that uses too many words, and sometimes we don't realize that we might be saying something and it's affecting everyone else that can potentially hear us, right? And so how do we suspend that judgment or how do we hold that judgment? Like, when do you confront, when do you step back, when do you ask a question? Like Kathy's talking about. That's hard to do. Anything else that gets in the way of listening? That's
fear.
Fear.
A lot of times when somebody feels like they can't hear them, they yell louder.
Yes.
So the person gets more fearful and shuts down more.
Right. So that's the other part of that balance, right? Because how we use our words matters. Because if we want to keep that person in conversation, yelling or shutting down, both are equally as dangerous. Alyssa.
Anxiety.
Anxiety.
Like, even if it's trying to figure out my life and the stress of that and how am I going to make this work, I don't have what I feel is the time to listen and I have trouble shutting that off. Or anxiety in another fold where new people are scary. So that kind of fold where I don't know you, I don't know your background, I don't know if I'm going to be hurt if I open myself up.
Right. Right. Kim?
We might hear the words, but we're not really hearing what they're saying. We're kind of interpreting it differently.
Right. Our own filters can get in the way.
Dave? So, with off of Betsy and Kim, when you, like the courtesy parlances, you say to somebody, how you doing? And they say, great. But if somebody actually tells you how they're doing, that's a fear factor. Like, whoa, I didn't want to hear all that. I just wanted to say,
it was
great. Keep going.
Right. So I had an interesting experience this week. I was watching Stephen Colbert doing an extended interview with Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And so, talk about judgment, right? I was like, oh, do I really want to watch this? And I did. I don't know why. I just did. Normally, I would have turned it off. And I started to watch, and Stephen was asking some really good questions as he was interviewing Howard Stern. Because I've got a whole bag of judgment from all his years on the radio. And Howard Stern started talking about psychotherapy and interviewing and asking the right questions. And I was like, okay. So I started to listen to what he was saying. And he talked about drawing out the depths of a person by asking the right questions. And then he also asked for some forgiveness for his own ego getting in the way of pushing people too far to get ratings. And I thought, oh, talk about trying to suspend my own judgment so I could hear him say something that was unexpected. Now, that doesn't always happen because sometimes somebody's just being a fool, right? But as I listened to him, and I could hear how listening changed him as a person, changed his family dynamic, and changed how he approaches his radio show, it kind of piqued my curiosity.
And I realized that a lot of listening has to do with balance and having a balanced love life. So I think there's listening to God, listening to neighbor, and listening to self. At the barn, one of the things that we talk about often are core values, and one of our core values is balance. And I think having balance in listening helps us to live a full and balanced love life. So what I would like you to do now is another listening activity. And I would like you to find one other person in the room. It can be any person. You can know this person well. You can know this person not as well. So find one other person in the room. I'm not. You have to find your one person. Just find your one person. Everyone needs a person. You can be with your spouse. You're allowed to be with the spouse. But you might choose to get to know someone else in a different way.
I'll move back.
So are you two partners? You can do that. Do you have a partner? Y'all have a partner? If someone does not have a partner, I will partner with them. Dylan, if you have a partner? I know. You know, and that's another thing that I didn't even think about addressing in the message this morning. I remember when my kids were little, I couldn't listen to a darn thing. It's so hard to listen. Okay, you all have your partner. You all have your index cards that you were writing on earlier. Pull those index cards out. So pull out your index cards and your writing utensils again. Sorry, I should have told that before you got up and moved around the room. Sorry about that. All right, you all have your index card and your writing utensil. Now, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to time you. You have 1 minute, and I want you to write on your card as many adjectives or descriptors that you can use to describe yourself on your card. You're going to write them down. Just write down every adjective that you can think of to describe yourself. Okay, ready, set, go. Okay, time's up. I remember all of a sudden when I did this activity for the very first time, I remember thinking, wow, that was a lot of minutes. So if you're feeling that way, you're not alone. Okay, now, what you're going to do is this next piece is going to be timed with your partner. I want you to decide who's going to go first. Who's going to go first? All right. Now, the person who's going first has 30 seconds to share their adjectives about their self, and the other partner is going to listen deeply, as well as you can, to their partner. Ready?
No writing.
No writing. You share your you're not going to write them down. You're going to share verbally with your partner your adjectives. And the partner number one is going to share about themselves. If you run out of adjectives that are on your card, you can continue to speak more adjectives that describe yourself in the 30 seconds. Ready? Okay. Go.
Thank you.
partners. Thank you, friends. Thank you. Partner one, how did it feel to share adjectives about yourself? Partner one, how did it feel to share adjectives about yourself?
Embarrassed.
What did you say, Beth?
I was cringing the whole time.
Cringing. Honest. Honest. It felt honest.
Challenging.
Yes. It's very hard. Yes.
Therapeutic.
So, partner two, how did it feel to listen? How did it feel to listen to your partner?
Interested.
Intriguing.
Difficult.
That is afraid of forgetting.
You were afraid you were going to forget. Yeah. Kelly. Enlightening. Yeah. What else? Partner two, how did it feel?
Surprising.
Curious. Curious. Yes. All right. Now, for the second part, partner two, we're going to do this a little bit differently. This time, you have 1 minute to share your adjectives. I know. And partner one is going to listen. All right? Are you ready? Set. Go. Partner two, what did it feel like to share about yourself? Partner two, what did it feel like to share about yourself?
Anxiety.
Anxiety, yes, because all of a sudden you had a whole minute. I know, that was very embarrassing. And vulnerable, yes, yes. What else, partner two?
It was affirming to me.
Affirming, yeah. Active listening, yes.
Freeing,
yeah. Marcy? So you discovered similarities. Beautiful. Dave?
What was the extra time I felt the need to explain just in case?
So it gave you more freedom to talk a little bit more and share a little bit more deeply about yourself. It's great. Others? Other partner twos? Mary?
I felt good to own the good and the bad. Like, to be realistic about myself.
Yeah. Yeah, because you sort of knew what to expect from the process, so you could get a little bit more vulnerable about the good and the bad. All right, partner one, how did it feel to listen to this other person? How did it feel to listen?
It felt good. But I think she was done in 20 seconds. I think she was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't say anything in 30 seconds. I had to say more than I did then.
Right. You do have to say more than you've written down. And it's a bit of a challenge. Because how many years have the two of you been married to each other? 40 years. I mean, so that's 40 years of listening, right? And trying to distill it down to 1 minute. Right.
40 years and 20 seconds a year.
We all strive for that. We all strive for that. Other days. Appreciative. Yes. Tony. You blew, Tony is admitting she blew the exercise. She spoke. Oh, okay. So there are a couple of things. So it's very different when you've known each other for 40 years intimately versus getting to know each other, right? So you're digging a little bit deeper, like, because you do this all the time. Right? So it's very, it's just interesting paying attention to our relationships. And it also makes me think about, okay, how would it feel if you did this activity as a discernment activity in relationship with God? Like, I always think about an activity like this, when two or three are gathered in my name, God is present there with you. Like, did anyone give any thought to that? I know I kind of switched up, but, right? But when you're doing an activity like this, God is present in the listening and in the sharing. In all these moments, like thinking about the words that we say and how we say them, how we share of ourselves, the risks that we take in relationships, that God is in all of this. So what I'd like to do now is share a quick video of Krista Tippett. She is a public radio host and has a show called On Beat. So let's watch this together.
Well, listen to me as a virgin. It's not something that we have much practice at. It's not something we're really taught to do. We're pretty much trained to be advocates, which has its place. I mean, even Christians are taught to be advocates. And again, it has its place, but to really be, you know, and I talked about neuroplasticity and how we have to cultivate virtues, we have to practice them. And so, because we don't have a lot of spaces for real listening, because we don't get a lot of practice, like, we're not really taught to listen, we're taught to speak to raise our voice, to speak our opinion, to make our point. And there's a place for that, but there's also a place for conversation and for listening and for being present. And those are things we need to learn and create places to practice. And listening is... at its most basic, it is an act of really being present to somebody, really honoring. Whether you like what you're hearing or not, honoring them as a fellow human being. For that reason, having some curiosity about them. Being open to being surprised by them. Having your imagination opened about who they are or why they are who they are, and learning something. And I think because we have this advocacy way of approaching how we move through the world, I also think that we internalize this thought that if we listen in order to be changed or to learn, that means that we're opening ourselves up to give up the ground we're standing on. And I don't think those two things have to be true. I think that we are called to be present in the world with what we believe and what we know. But we can be better at being in relationship with people who are different from us. And, you know, being in a relationship and learning from does not have to be the same, and being surprised by does not have to be the same thing as being like them. But if we open ourselves to a relationship and to seeing them as human beings and to being present to them in our fullness as human beings, I think then we create a space for new possibility that what can happen between us.
Yeah, what is the listening and being open to surprise? What is that growth? What is that soil growth?
Well, it grows some humility in us, which is a virtue. It's a good thing. It's an uncomfortable thing sometimes. But it's a virtue. Something we should aspire to. It probably becomes a seed bed for compassion. Because if we stop, if we're presented with someone who we have maybe turned into an abstraction, you know, they're a Christian, they're a Republican, they're a Democrat, they have guns, I don't know what, you know, on and on. Those things are still true of them at the end of the conversation. But we also know something about them as human beings. They're somebody's child, they're somebody's parent, they're somebody's brother or sister. There's a reason, you know, there's a story, there's a whole world experience behind this quality in them that we reduce them to, which suddenly makes sense. And so it becomes a seed for compassion, which again is not the same thing as agreeing, but it's a virtue.
There's more to this video. If you'd like to see, let us know. It's published by Work of the People. I think she has a lot to say about listening as a virtue, that it's, it helps us to form habits, and the more we practice listening, the more we can act with compassion in the world. I think listening is a love, an act of love and compassion. And it helps us to uncover the layers about who another human being is. It helps us to develop understanding of another person. It cultivates compassion. It helps us to ask questions, to discover how we can build relationships with one another even when we disagree. We can still love and care for one another. So this week I just encourage you to listen as an act of love. Listen for the ways that God is nudging you. Maybe God is nudging you to grow in some way or to be open to a new possibility, maybe creating curiosity in you. Listen to the needs and thoughts or feelings of a family member or a friend who is in need. I invite you to listen to the complexities of the world, because when we see those complexities, they uncover beauty. And I'm going to invite you to listen to the wonder of the mysteries of our earth, to reconnect us with the opening video that Anna created. You know, just be in nature as a way to build compassion for our earth and to connect you again to God and to all creation. So listen as an act of love. Amen.
Amazing. They want to do chemo
but we want to chat a week that she can still work, so it's not going to really get in the way. That's just amazing for me to see prayers answered that, you know, the way you specifically would have been to be answered. It doesn't always happen, but when it does, I'm sure there is a celebration going on in my heart for Mrs. Peters. So thank you for praying. My theory about praying is you've got to be a focus. You can't just, you know, because you want to see what's going on. So that's why I brought it up this morning.
Anyone else? Joys or concerns, thoughts, prayers, wonderments? Larry.
If you got a PK member, she's struggling with some back, shoulder, neck.